Welcome to Things I Wish I Knew, the podcast from Thinking Faith, a work of the Jesuits in Britain. I'm Julia, I'm in my early 30s and I used to live in a Jesuit young adult community. We all live hectic lives and often don't get time to reflect on what's happening both to us and around us. This podcast is meant to help you to take a moment to stop and think about where you are, where you're going, and where your relationship with God fits into it all. Every week I meet a new guest who tells me about something they experienced which changed their life forever. By talking about the things they wish they'd known, we'll explore the idea that God is in all things. And we'll talk about the part that faith plays in navigating life's challenges. Today I'm speaking to Lauren, founder of Hidden Catholic. Lauren is talking about sharing her faith, especially through her work, which is taking groups on tours and showing Catholic history. Lauren is so passionate about what she does, and in this conversation, she talks about how sometimes you have to have trust in God in order to do what brings you joy. So, Lauren, tell me about yourself.
Yes, so I'm American and lived most of my, or all my life pretty much in the U.S., but I have lived parts in Europe. I was an exchange student in high school, exchange student at university, where I met my husband in Germany. He's not German. He's American too, but we were both studying at the same time. And with that, I got a love of travel and seeing new places and experiencing new cultures. And just it opened my eyes. Studied abroad and at university too. And I wanted to do something global. I thought I was going to either work for the UN or the State Department in the U.S. And instead, my life took a completely different path and married my then boyfriend, who's now my husband. And kind of followed him around everywhere with his job. He was already in Atlanta, so I went to Atlanta. And then we got engaged while we were in Chicago. And then after we were married, he got a job offer in Seattle. And I moved to Seattle. And then we were there for about a decade, for a little over a decade. Had two boys. And it is there that I became Catholic. I converted in 2015 after my oldest was already born. So yeah, but I had already been going to church since even my boyfriend before my now husband, he was Catholic. And so I went to church when I would go visit his family with him. And so, yeah, I've kind of had these experiences with it along the way. And then yeah, we were married in a Catholic church.
What made you decide you wanted to be Catholic?
That's a very interesting question, because I think what actually was a kick for me that kind of like set it in motion was actually my father-in-law. We had been going to Mass. We go to Mass every week. Our oldest son was born and he was baptized in the Catholic Church. On the Sundays, we'd partake in donuts and coffee afterwards. And it was a visit with my in-laws that we went back to South Carolina to visit them over Thanksgiving. And actually, my husband wasn't even with us. It was my son and I. And I was on a 45-minute drive to pick up a rental car with my father-in-law. And he started asking me kind of my thoughts, like what I believed, what I didn't believe. And he just looked at me and he was like, "You're basically Catholic. You believe everything that you should. Like, what is the holdup?" And I was like, "Well, I don't like the fact that I can't have communion, even though I do believe." So again, my pride, like this was my pride really kind of standing in the way. I'm like, "I believe, but they still won't give me." And he's like, "So then why don't you just take that step?" And I kind of thought about it. And then there was an incident a couple of days later. I get a call from my husband that our dog was missing. And he's in Seattle and it's really dark and it's snowing actually. And our dog was missing. And so I'm panicking. He's panicking. He's trying to find him. He's there all alone. And at one point there was this moment where I just got a complete sense of peace after being wound up, not being able to help and worried about him. All of a sudden this sense of peace came over me and was like, everything's going to be okay. And 30 seconds later, my husband calls and he said, "I found him." When we got back to Seattle, I met with the RCIA catechist at our parish, had an interview with him and talked with him. And he was like, "Why don't you join us in January and then you can become Catholic in April?" He's like, "You've clearly understand so much." And so that's what I did. And so it was, I think ultimately for me, what got me over it was just, it was a sense of, I was already feeling at home and I already loved going to the Catholic Church, But what really got me there was just getting past my pride and opening myself up to what Jesus wanted me to do.
I feel quite often like our pride gets in the way as well. So what made your like first pilgrimage to Rome so significant?
So I love to travel. It's one of those things, even my husband and I, we both share that passion. It was such a different experience. It was traveling and the fun of traveling and seeing the new places, but it was like this added level of spirituality to it. And it made something that was fun, complex in a wonderful sense. It just took it to a whole new level, that pilgrimage did. Seeing some of the Eucharistic miracles that you can see in like Lanciano and even in Assisi, and seeing St. Catherine of Assisi's head, you know, at the church in Siena, those type of things was just amazing. Because you can go as a tourist and go see them, but it was something was different about it. And maybe that was, you know, having the Mass every day because you're on pilgrimage. And it made me appreciate pilgrimage so much better and so much differently than just normal travel that we would take.
So would you say that deepened your love of the church?
It did. And it also made me realize, like I'd already known, like the church is 2,000 years old, but it made me want to learn more about it. It made me want to dive deeper and understand it because it's so easy to just go to church, listen to the scriptures, listen to the homily, and check off that box and continue. But the church is so much more than that. Like, it's the experiences that you have with saints. It's the in-depthness of Eucharistic miracles happening, which grounds that foundation of what is taking place in Mass, of it being the body and blood of Christ. And you see those Eucharistic miracles that just almost reinforce that. A lot of times some people, you have to see to believe. Well, here's your sight. And so even if you already believe, then seeing kind of just adds that more in-depthness and that more profound sense of spirituality to it. And so I think those type of things kind of help with that. So
when you came back, how did you use that experience to share about your faith?
I had already been doing that, but kind of with friends at work and stuff. Even when I became Catholic, I already started talking about being Catholic. And I wasn't shy about it. If anybody asked, and sometimes I even volunteered it, people would be like, oh, what did you do on the weekend? I'm like, oh, I went to Mass as part of the list of things that we did. So I never like shied away from it. And if people asked, I said I was Catholic. And it came down to having conversations. There's a really good friend of mine that we were on the same team at work together. And she had a Christian background, but didn't really necessarily align with that anymore. So we would have like coffee breaks that would last sometimes half an hour, 45 minutes, and talk through kind of our beliefs and why we believed. But it was a open conversation. We would ask questions, but questions not on trying to poke holes, but questions on more of curiosity. We would touch on even subjects of like abortion and pro-life, and we were on opposite sides of it, but we had just really good conversations. And it was never, we always walked away with like a hug, and it was never a sense of being angry. And so that gave me comfort. And also being able to answer some of her questions also gave me the confidence too. And so I think that's kind of where a lot of it started. And then once I became involved in the parish, I was on the parish council in Seattle, and I would openly talk about it. I'd even write it for my promotions at work, because the big thing sometimes in promotions, it was also, how are you giving back to the community, whether that was within the company or outside of the company? And being a leader at the church on the parish council was one of those. So I put that in and I would talk about it. And so it was never about like, oh, you should believe. It was always, well, this is what I believe and this is what I do and this is why it's important to me, and have those kind of conversations so that people got to know who I am and I could get to know who other people are.
So it's clear that you're, like, sharing your faith is really important to you. Mm-hmm. But how has that directed your choices that you've made?
Yeah, I think it made me, with the going on the pilgrimage, I think leading to where I am now, that kind of started that trend. And so when we actually traveled here in 2019 as a family. And as part of that, I was like, well, I'm going to look up to see what Catholic things that there are. And coming from America, you're like, I don't think that there's going to be much. Like Henry VIII, all of that, like, there's probably not going to be able to find anything. And I was surprised at what I was able to find. And so we went to Tyburn Convent even then. When we went down to Dover, we stopped off at a tiny little church in Dover. I think his name was like St. Edmund's or St. Edward's. I can't remember what it was. But it was like this super tiny church and that had been there for over 1,000 years. And so it was finding these little nuggets along the way, going to Canterbury and Canterbury Cathedral, but also going to like St. Dunstan's. Which a lot of people tend to miss when they go to Canterbury. And so finding that, it was just like opened up my eyes. I loved English history before, and then now seeing it differently, and not necessarily how you're taught in school and how you might read in the books that are out there. And so that was eye-opening. And so it was those pieces that kind of continued. And so sharing it that way of finding this and then talking to people about it, of what I was able to find. And then when we moved here in 2022, it was like, okay, what more can I find? And that kind of just continued to keep going and spiraling.
So how does that, like, that history of the Catholic Church, because I remember really being taken back when I was like 16, 17, and somebody had just gone to World Youth Day in Sydney and had come back and was talking to me about how the people they met when they said they were from England, people were like, but there's no Catholics in England because of Reformation things. And so the people they were speaking to were really surprised to find out they were English Catholics. But there's obviously like this great history in the UK of the Catholic Church. But how does that like help you evangelize or share your faith with others?
I think it's because it's also almost teaching about that history. It's not coming to England and looking at the church and looking at the history of the church here is very different than if you go to Rome or you go to Lourdes or Spain, and where it is almost like smack dab in your face. Like everywhere you turn, especially if you go to Italy, you experience the church. But here, it's so much more subtle. I love going into the old cathedrals and being like, okay, where can I find the history? A lot of things happened to lead me to Hidden Catholic in the last several years. But what kind of brought me and what kind of solidified this is what I want to do is that fact of people not understanding what all you can have here and what all you can find. So it's not just about coming to England to experience the sights, which is a fun part. But if you're Catholic, you can come experience those sights and then see some really rich history that didn't break, that did continue, whether it was underground, but it did continue. And it is growing and it is strong. Now today. And so let's go find those places. And that's for me now it's my way of still showcasing my faith and talking about it. But I talk about it through the lens of history and the stories of the people.
So you've touched on a couple of times about Hidden Catholic. So yes. Tell us more about it.
Yes. So Hidden Catholic is my tour company. It's something, again, through all of these experiences with the pilgrimages coming here in 2019 after moving, is kind of the ultimate piece that hit. So I had a corporate job in the tech industry, been there for over a decade, and had started to feel not very happy with where I was and with what was happening. I'd find myself not enjoying going to work. I have different necklaces based off of kind of how I'm feeling. And I wear my Joan of Arc metal necklace when I feel like I need to be feisty and like put my battle armor on. And I found myself putting on that necklace every single day. Gosh. Then in August 2023, my grandmother passed away. And it just completely shattered me. And with that, and with the grief that I was experiencing, I would just remember I kept trying to push through and push through, go to work, take care of the family. And I remember one day my husband and I, we were out just for a walk. And he just asked me, he's like, "Are you okay?" He's like, you seem depressed. And I was like, "I don't think I'm depressed because I don't feel depressed. I feel everything. I feel happy when I'm with our family. I feel anger. I feel sadness. I feel joy. I feel peace. I feel all of these emotions all at the same time." And it felt like just exhaustion and like living on a knife edge. And so talked and everything and decided to take some time off of work. Because that, you know, when everything is feeling like it's spiraling out of control and you have a family, work is the thing that you can kind of hit pause on. And you can't stop being a mom. You can't stop being a wife. You can't stop being a daughter. But you can stop being an employee for a time. And so took several months off and got through Christmas and into the new year. And I was like, okay, I'm feeling better. I'd started to see a therapist to help me work my way through everything. And I was like, I'm feeling better. I think I can go back to work. And I went back to work. And within a month, those old feelings just came back. And so it got to a point where it was like, I can either continue the fight or I can just say, I'm done. And which was probably one of the hardest decisions ever to make. Because knowing by saying I'm done, there is a risk, you know, from a family perspective, the financial security that I was bringing in and helping with the family and contributing to. And so it was such a hard decision. I remember crying in my husband's arms about it because I felt like a failure by giving up. And so took some time. So I left. And around that time, actually, that I left, it was probably a godsend that my mother-in-law and our niece were coming over to visit. And it was our niece, my husband's goddaughter is and also our niece, and she had just turned 16 earlier in the year. She had gone through confirmation, and so it was kind of like a confirmation 16th birthday, bring her over. We traveled around, and I was showing them some of the places, taking them to St. Etheldreda's, went to Westminster Abbey and Tyburn Convent, and my mother-in-law just was like, "This is what you should do." She's like, "You seem like you, the way you tell the stories is so engaging. You can really tell that you enjoy it and love it. So this is what you should do." And so it kind of like stuck in my brain. And so, yeah, formed the company. And then last January, so January 2025, is when I had my first tour.
Where did you go?
We did the Saints and Martyrs tour. So we do Charterhouse, St. Etheldreda, St. Bart's, around that area of St. Paul's and Farringdon. Because the big question was it a viable plan? Do people want to see Catholic places in England? Because it's not the first thing you think of. Going to Rome, you know what you're going to get. Like you can't, I don't think, kick a stone without hitting a church.
That's true.
And so here it's a different level. And so if you've been to Rome, if you've been to these places and you've had that kind of experience, coming to England's a different experience. And now a year later, I mean, I love taking people on tours and them coming out of it and being like, wow, I had no idea. And that's one of the best things that I love to hear.
I'm imagining that decision to set this company up was a big trust in God that this was like the right path.
Yes.
Has there ever been times where you've like, is this the right choice? Is this the right decision for you and your family as well?
I have these conversations with my husband a lot because I constantly second guess, especially early on, kind of that first 6 months going even into last summer of having these senses of like guilt, having lots of guilt. My husband is working his butt off to support our family while I build my dream and then taking care of the kids and making sure that they're, you know, living their lives and able to grow in the way that we want them to. And we love to travel as a family. And so it was kind of like, we have to kind of watch that now. And so it was those type of things. And so I feel quite a bit of guilt creep in quite often. But then my husband one time, he was just like, do you, like, don't feel guilty. Because now, yes, things are different from my financial standpoint, but like you're contributing to the family now in a different way and in a way that has made it better for our family. You are now picking the boys up from school. Whereas when we first moved here, we got a nanny because both of us were having meetings late. And so now I'm the one picking my kids up from school. I'm getting dinner on the table, which was not always the case when both of us were working. The number of times we were deliveroo-ing things because it just made it easy after, you know, you're in meetings until 6:30. The last thing you want is to go into the kitchen and cook something. So now it's like cooking dinner and helping the kids through homework and kind of being that support there for them and as a family. And so just kind of keep reminding myself of that along the lines of also, you know, reaching these this dream and loving every single day I go to work. It's not work. It's just so much fun.
So how do you see God moving in your story?
Yeah, it comes in different ways. I think probably the one in which that is really that confidence boost feel is we'll be at Mass. And there are a couple of things. One, there's been times where I pray at Mass and I get this like tingling sensation all over my body. And I feel as if like Mary is there or Jesus is there with their hand on me. And I find myself also too with, because of having the guilt that creeps in quite often, we'll be at Mass and after going up for communion and partaking in the Eucharist, coming back down and kneeling. And oftentimes after, you know, the initial parts of thanking him and, you know, giving up my graces to be delivered, asking for forgiveness, it was also a, am I still doing what you want me to do? Am I still heading in the right direction? Is this where you still see me being? Guide me, show me where I need to go. Am I still following in those footsteps? Whenever this happens, within a week or two of doing it, I've noticed all of a sudden I'll wake up one morning and there'll be three requests for a tour. And so then I'm like, okay, thank you. Okay, I'm still on the track that you want me to be on. And so, yeah.
I think we all need that reassurance. And especially yeah. when you've made like such a big decision to leave your job and start something new. I think that makes sense that you need that reassurance from God that you are on the right path as well. I was thinking earlier about when you were saying about sharing your faith with mm-hmm. when you were in the tech world originally, and you were always, when people ask you about your weekend, you'd say you'd go to Mass. Mm-hmm. And I have had like the situation where I've worked in Catholic or Christian organizations, so I've never been in that like more secular way of working, but I have quite a lot of friends who are, and they always say to me that they often quite struggle to come like have those conversations with people. Mm-hmm. So do you have any advice or like suggestions of how they can start those conversations of sharing their faith?
That's a really good question. I would say start small and start with those maybe that maybe don't share the same beliefs as you, but you feel comfortable with, and opening up to them first. And then I think that ends up giving you the confidence to start doing it more. And again, and starting small can be just saying, I went to Mass, or I went to Eucharistic adoration. And then that in itself can sometimes open up questions of them being like, oh, like Eucharistic adoration, like nobody else really does that, right? And so, and that leads to, oh, maybe of, well, what's that? And then you can talk about it. And so those, even just the, some of those simple phrases can open into deeper conversations. And then once you even say it enough, and then that in itself can sometimes lead to a side conversation of like, oh, you keep mentioning this. Tell me about it. And so it can just be statements. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. Or if you're, if you like to go to daily Mass and you're at work and someone's like, oh, how was your lunch hour? You can be like, well, I went to daily Mass at this church. Let me tell you about the history of this church, you know, and it's those side aspects, I think, that kind of, it's not a talking necessarily about your faith, but it is talking about the faith as a whole when you're talking in either about history or an aspect in which that you're participating in for it. So I'd just say maybe start small.
So what do you wish you knew about sharing your faith?
I wish I knew not to be scared to share my story, because everybody has a story. And I think if you find ways of opening up your story, then others share theirs, because they're also scared of sharing their story. I've had a bumpy road when it comes to my relationship with God and Jesus along the way of my life, and things in which that I'm still to this day trying to reconcile and work through. But I also realized through my conversations, everybody else has those moments as well. So I think it's finding the courage to find the right moments. It's not like just blurting it out randomly, but finding the right moments and the right people to start that conversation with. And it leads to strong friendships, stronger relationships. Now those friendships, like that colleague of mine that I would have these conversations, we still don't see eye to eye on things. But I think our friendship is stronger because of it, because of those conversations that we had. We were actually just talking recently within the last 6 months, because she's kind of now going almost through a similar crisis in a sense of like work wise, of like, do I lean in and continue the fight or do I take a pause? She's had her own struggles that are very different to mine, but ultimately leading to similar places. And so like we still are now almost, actually it has been 10 years now. Now that I think about it, it has been 10 years. We've been friends. And I think our friendship has lasted because of those coffee break conversations of talking about how we're not similar, but also at the same time, finding that common ground in our own experiences.
So what are you most grateful for?
Life, my family, my friends, those with me on this journey. My clients that also, in a way, give me a sense of going down this path. I try to find something that I'm grateful for every day. I think in terms of most grateful would be the life that Jesus has given me, the life that he's given my family, and the way that he continues to support us And then, yeah, I would say my boys, my husband and my two boys, I don't know where I would be without them.
Thanks for listening to Things I Wish I Knew. I know this episode is going to stay with me because Lauren reminded me that everyone is a bit scared to share their story, but by opening up with our own story, we can give others confidence to share theirs. How about you? We'd love to hear how Lauren's story resonated with you. And why not also tell us if you're facing an experience you wish you knew how to look at differently? It might just be something we can help with. You can find out more about this and other themes at thinkingfaith.org. Thank you again for listening. I hope you'll join me again next time on Things I Wish I Knew.